Hello, everybody, and welcome to the DestoForOz.com video games podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today we are brought to you by Jinx. Level up your clothing with clothing from Jinx, which is the home of the World of Warcraft into Pandaria store, the League of Legends store, and the Minecraft store, as well as many great, other great stores. So check that out. It's awesome geek and gamer themed clothing at really great prices. So it's Jinx. Embrace your inner geek. Well, I don't have anything branded, like professionally stuff. We do have our own stuff. So please head over to DestoForOz.com/store and check some of that stuff out. As always, we are still accepting new design ideas and art and such, so if you have some, please don't hesitate to send them to bovi1@DestoForOz.com or post them in the t-shirt design thread on the forums. If we like it, we'll put it on a bunch of products, and then if it's art that we use, we'll be able to pay you based on how well the products sell. If it's a design idea, well, we'd love to hear from you, but unfortunately we won't be able to pay you if we use it. We'll be able to credit you, but won't pay you. Sorry. It's business stuffs. So again, that is bovi1@DestoForOz.com or post them in the t-shirt design thread on the forums. Also, it's that time of year again. DestoForOz is doing Extra Life. For those who don't know, Extra Life is a 24-hour game marathon. This year will be held November 2nd from 8 a.m. to 8 a.m. Or if you can't do it then, whenever you're able to do it. And it is to help raise money for Children's Miracle Network hospitals in our area. This year, DestoForOz is supporting the Sick Kids Foundation in Toronto. All proceeds donated go directly to the Children's Miracle. All proceeds donated as well go directly to the Sick Kids Foundation. And all donations are tax deductible. So please head over to DestoForOz.com/extra-life. That is DestoForOz.com/extra-life. There's a link at the bottom of the page. And please donate. Or if you can't donate, then please join the team and help us fundraise. Anything you guys can do will help. And it's all going toward a really great cause. So please, again, that's DestoForOz.com/extra-life. It'll help save some kids' lives. So, yay. I'm your host, Deadman. Joining today, as always, we have Bubby on.
I have sour cherry blasters.
I have water. So, yeah.
I've just been informed that Ninja Kitty has sour cherry blasters. And so I'm going to put them out of my reach.
Okay. So yeah, also, it's possible we could be joined with someone later in the show. We don't know yet.
Possible. I don't know. Probably doesn't have herself.
We'll see. Yeah. So, Bobby, what have you been playing?
All right. Other than the usual stuff, I briefly played Dota 2, and I feel like this should be the first on the list because of the comparison I'm going to make. And I don't like it so much.
Yeah, it's for a MOBA, it's pretty good, but I gave my thoughts on it a while back.
And my thoughts are very similar to your thoughts. I also thought that the tutorial was not a very good tutorial for how the game actually works.
There's a tutorial? Yes. Couldn't find one.
When you start the game, it says, "What is your level of familiarity with Dota?" And I clicked
I did not get that.
And then it's like, okay, we're going to put you through this tutorial.
Yeah, I just booted up the game, and then it was like, hey, find a game.
But basically, when you play Dota 2, when you do the tutorial, it basically has you fighting minions the entire time, and it forces you to fully build your character before you ever encounter an enemy champion who isn't built. You don't encounter turrets. It does nothing to introduce you to how the game works except telling you how to use the controls.
Yeah, that's a really terrible idea. Like learning how to move and stuff in Dota is the least of your concerns. Like, if you played, like, any kind of strategy game on a computer before, you will basically know how to move around in there. And anything that's important will be hotkeyed.
Yeah.
Is the actual, like, stuff that happens in the matches that is important.
Now, I'm going to make a lot of comparisons here to League of Legends, because that's another MOBA I play, and I'm going to get to that. And yeah, the recall. I don't like that you have to use up an inventory slot just to be able to recall. For those unfamiliar, in League of Legends, that's just a button. Everybody has the recall spell.
Yep, it is a standard spell.
Yeah, you press the B button, timer starts, there can't be any interference, and then once the timer goes down, you go back to your start.
Thing.
Which is really good for if you need to go to the shop quickly, or if you are dying and you're hiding in the bushes trying to escape. Which, you know, I've done a few times.
Oh yeah, totally. It's if you're not good at Dota or League of Legends, you gotta hide. Or just run away.
I'm not particularly not good. It's just the character I main with. It is a bit of a slow start, low defense character.
Okay. Who are you playing though? Just wondering.
Ashe.
But in League of Legends or?
In League of Legends, yes.
Okay, I was thinking Dota.
I don't know if Dota has an Ashe. Dota does have a Frost Archer, and I decided to get the best comparison. I should play my first match as their Frost Archer. Her moveset sucks.
Okay.
With Ashe and with this Frost Archer, your first move, the first move, the Q button move for anyone familiar with a MOBA, is the Frost Arrow, which for Ashe is really simple. It's a toggle. Either your Frost Arrow is on and all of your arrows will be Frost Arrows that deplete your mana but slow your enemy and do extra frost damage, or off, so they'll be regular arrows. Simple enough. In this, each and every Frost Arrow, which does about the same damage, slow, and uses about the same amount of mana, you have to press the button and then aim it. And then press the button and then aim it. Which makes it useless for its main use, which is chasing down enemies. Or slowing them so that, you know, either your gank is successful or you just kill them because you're a motherfucking boss. Mm. Or you trap them by the turret, whatever you're doing. Or you're just trying to help your teammates escape.
Okay.
So yeah, it's definitely that sucks. And then the second move is silence in Dota, and I gotta say it's pretty useless. You can use it at range, but my first match I was trying to play against the AIs, which might have been a good deal of my frustration because I didn't even get through finishing my first match. Where I'm like, fuck this game.
You shouldn't have left mid-game, man. They'll penalize you or something.
It was all AI, so it doesn't matter.
The AI will penalize you.
Anyways,
they'll send a report to the AI director in Left 4 Dead. It's all connected, man. Next time you play Left 4 Dead, you'll accidentally like run into an area with like 17 tanks.
By the way, there's something that bothered me. The Valve guy at the beginning of the game. He fucking turns, and that creeps me out. I was fucking terrified the first time. I wasn't prepared for it. Like, the Valve guy has always just sort of sat there in every Valve game I've ever played. And then this time he fucking turns, and I'm just like, that is goddamn terrifying!
Oh, God.
So Dota made a good first impression on me.
Steve's first impression is it terrified you. It's not even horror.
Yes.
That's impressive.
The rest didn't terrify me. The rest just frustrated me. And then, yeah, so onto the bad move set. The third one is just a sort of passive move, which I believe increases your accuracy. And then the other one is another passive move, which just sort of increases the fog around you.
Okay, yeah, I think when I played Dota, I'm going for this weird demon guy who, like, devours minions, causes, like, curse damage, creates, like, a field, like, an area of effect that I think, like, increases your damage on certain enemies, and I found him to be fine.
I didn't mind the tutorial character who's Dragon Knight that much.
Okay.
He has, like, a flame breath attack and Then there's a passive. Then there's another one that I don't really know what it did. He sort of does this big flame slash, but it doesn't seem that effective. But then his, you know, final move is turning into a fucking dragon.
Yeah, it's effective. Works for Liu Kang.
Yes, it does.
All you need to do is drop an arcade machine on somebody, and then we're good.
Anyway, so yeah. That's directly comparing the characters they use. Oh, I guess I should mention Ash's other two attacks. Or other three, actually. One is an arrow volley, which shoots a volley of your frost arrows. So depending on how much you've leveled up your frost arrows, this attack becomes more effective. And basically hits a field of opponents. So it slows them all and frost damages them all. It's pretty awesome. Then there's Hawkshot, which has an active of revealing an area of the map and a passive of earning you more gold per kill. And then there's the Enchanted Crystal Arrow, which will fire through objects and will keep going until it hits an enemy. When it hits the enemy, it stuns them. Depending on how long the arrow... the further the arrow traveled, the longer they are stunned. So if you get someone with this across the map... Oh, sorry, I should have said enemy champion. It only hits enemy champions.
Okay. Yeah, I think I got hit by one of those ones in a match, and I fucking hate Ash.
So, like, if you shoot this thing from across the map, which I'm trying to train myself to do really well, and I have a couple times been really successful in, they're fucking screwed. And then it does, on impact, it does area frost damage and area slow. And then there's a lingering slow on the champion who's hit. So, one of the best things to do, if you're playing someone who's new in the game, and they come charging at your turret when you're Ash, and they don't have enough minions supporting them, you just hit them with the fucking Enchanted Crystal Arrow, and they're stuck by your turret. And it murders them. And it's hilarious every time.
You suck so much, dude.
I did that once when people were like running into the base. They're like, okay, the minions have kept the turret busy long enough, and then I'll just run. And I'm just like, Enchanted Frost Arrow, they're stuck. One of my teammates comes, clears out their minions, and the turret just destroys them.
I hate being stunned in front of turrets. Like, you know, it happens to be like once every like three or four matches.
There is a champion I hate in League of Legends as well, but I'll get to that in a minute. So yeah, the camera movement in fucking Dota is terrible. I move my mouse to the edge of the screen. It doesn't move. I'm like, what? It's like, use the arrow keys. You expect me to take my hand off the mouse? Or off my spell keys? My hands should always be on my spell keys and my mouse. This is the natural MOBA position.
Yeah, it's weird with Dota. They have it set up in such a way that you either have to like have your mouse like moving into the edges of the screen and stuff, but you always have to move it just a bit farther than you think you have to.
Yeah.
So you always end up either moving your my natural inclination is whenever I'm not doing anything, I always move my mouse over to the edge of the screen. So if I'm just waiting for my dude to walk across the map, I usually just end up like putting the mouse over there and I just like losing him entirely. Like, oh fuck. And so then with arrow keys, you know, it's taking your hand to the mouse.
And I do like the snap to the different champions, but I don't like that you can't follow your champion.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you said. And then there's just the basic midfield stalemate that happens, I find. It's a lot longer than in League of Legends, because basically the enemy champion, so long as they don't really run into your territory, won't die, but at the same time, they won't do a lot of damage.
Okay.
I find the only way to damage is to pretty much sacrifice yourself. There's a long stalemate at the middle otherwise, where you're just winning by, like, fucking millimeters.
Okay.
I don't know if that was just me, but...
Yeah, I never had that problem. I usually took, like, top or bottom. I never really had mid problems. Like, I occasionally go to the mid and there'd be, you know, like a back and forth thing, but eventually we just push through.
Yeah, but the strategies I use, I could say, if I was using a League of Legends with Ashe, I would push through and destroy their turret. I wouldn't have done it by the time I said, fuck this game with Dota.
Oh, maybe it was just like the AI bots you're playing against.
It might have been, but it was enough to frustrate me. Maybe I should give it another chance. I don't know. I probably will. But I'll probably still end up getting frustrated and just being like, ah!
Just tilting out. But you don't really have a table, so you just tilt. You just flip your keyboard over. Just fuck this game!
So I guess this leads pretty well into the next game I want to talk about that I came back to after a very long time, which is League of Legends.
Ah, yes. How have you been enjoying LoL?
You know, I thought that by being away for a long time, I would come back and be terrible. But no, I'm not rusty at all. In fact, I've just, like, I've figured out how to use my champion better.
Oh, that's nice.
Because I've always mained with Ashe since day one. People have tried to convince me to switch to other champions. I have one purchased, but he's only my backup, Udyr, who's a completely different champion to use, and I'm still a bit shaky on using him because I don't use him that often. I only use him when I can't get Ashe. But yeah, I've had people be like, oh, Ashe is such a basic champion. You should switch to something new. You should learn new things. It's like, but I destroy as Ashe, especially with the build I use. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing that's much better in League of Legends is the shop setup.
Yeah, it really is.
Right down to the number of items you can have in your inventory.
Yep, number of items where you're actually able to, where you are allowed to buy them. So there's like the horrible thing of like, oh hey, I have like everything all totally full up. Okay, what how do I get these things? How the fuck do I get these things? Oh, I'm dead. Okay, now I can get these things.
Yeah, because it gets put in your stash, which I hate the stash.
Like, it's nice having a queue of stuff you can, like, get, but the fact there is a separate button to collect that stuff after you buy it. Like, if it was just you're in the middle of the field, and, like, you're in the middle of, like, the field of battle, you just, like, buy a bunch of stuff, and then you start fighting, and then you die. The second you respawn, that thing immediately drops in your inventory. That would be fine. But nope, there's a button. Fucking buttons.
Anyways, back to League of Legends. As I said before, with Ashe, the build I use, she starts off pretty shaky. Like, it's enough to mostly survive, but she's not doing a lot of damage. But then by the end, she's practically invincible. So people know I do Phantom. I do Berserker Grease, Phantom Dancer.
Don't tell people.
Sanguine Blade, Banshee's Veil.
I'll figure out a way to get around it. They'll destroy you anytime you play online.
Yeah, I don't think enough people who play League of Legends listen to this podcast. But also, go ahead and try and find a way around that.
Someone will.
Well, yeah, there are people who can kill me, but I gotta mention the one champion that I hate.
Okay, who's that?
Fucking Fiddlesticks. I hate that piece of shit.
I tried playing as him once. I didn't like him.
He could be hard to learn to use, but once you know how to use him, that dude is so OP. Like, more so than Ashe. So much that, like, when I'm using Ashe, just like, if I encounter Fiddlesticks, it's like, I'm dead. I am dead. So I have encountered Fiddlesticks. I am dead.
So Fiddlesticks needs to be nerfed?
Yeah. Because basically he has this area attack that stuns you, an area attack that slows you, and then like a bunch of fucking high damage attacks, and basically even if as soon as you see him near you, you run away, he's going to stop you and kill you. Like, Ashe can't even slow you down that much. Like, if Ashe is that close to you, she can only stop you for a short period of time. The only way Ash would be able to do what Fiddlesticks does is if Ash shot you from across the map, teleported to where you were, then hit you with as much frost damage as possible.
Wow.
But Fiddlesticks can just do it as soon as he sees you. And he's especially an enemy to Ash, because Ash is pretty low defense. That is her weakness. So once she get, if she's stuck in a close range battle, she's screwed. That's why I use Ghost to GTFO. Often with Fiddlesticks, though, by the time I push Ghost, I'm dead. Because, like, it takes, like, two seconds.
Hey, well, hey, that it fits. You're now a ghost.
Oh, the worst is when you, like, just manage to push it just before he kills you, and then it's like, oh, now it's got the cooldown time, and it did you no good whatsoever.
And I need to get more League of Legends, man. Like, I have... Like, I'm able to follow along what you're saying, but I really don't have much of a clue as to what actually goes on in that game.
I gotta say, though, recently, my win ratio has been really good. I think I've only lost one game. Sorry, I lagged out of one that I, like, my computer fucked up on one that I probably would have lost. Just because my teammates, it was against AIs, and my teammates just kept feeding them. And I'm like, wow. But the only game I lost, one player on my team in a 3v3 was AFK for half the game.
What the fuck is that bullshit?
I don't care how much you people hate reporting. I will report you. I don't fucking care what your excuse is. And it was from the beginning. You have to click accept and then walk away from your keyboard for like 10 minutes for that to happen.
Jesus Christ.
That is the one thing that is unfucking acceptable. I'll almost never report people for shit, but like that's unfucking acceptable.
Yeah, that is some bullshit right there.
Like you just don't do that shit. Like there's no excuse. You should not get into a game if there's any chance you'll need to like, oh, I have to take a shit. I'll just start up this League of Legends game. It's not even like you could put yourself in the waiting queue and accidentally end up in a game and not notice. Because you have to press accept. If you let the timer go down, it assumes you decline. Because they don't want people playing AFK. By the way, that means away from keyboard, for those of you who have no idea what the hell I'm talking about.
Yeah. It's PC gaming lingo.
Yeah, even this guy said, oh, sorry, I came in too late. Yeah, you did come in too fucking late. Get the hell out of this game. Go play World of Warcraft or something.
Fucking Miss Pandaria, son of a bitch.
Well, it's just like, in this game, your teammates highly rely on you.
Man. Yeah.
So, go somewhere else where you can do things solo.
Yeah, go play Dota or something. They're probably just say, ooh, epic pwnage, brosive.
But yeah, my only other bad player experience, we actually won, but this guy was just a douchebag when it came to strategy. He kept saying, like, oh, Ash is... We're losing because Ash just keeps running away. I'm like, no, we're losing because you're feeding because you're not running from the enemies. And we weren't actually losing. We were kind of even because we did win that game. We came through a big push at the end, which was largely thanks to Ash's build being finished. But yeah, this person was like, Ash is just running away like a little girl. Ash is trying not to die and feed the enemies. Like, I have like 3 health left, dude. You really want me to be fighting them in this state? Anyways, he kept going on like that. Then finally at the end, he's like, okay guys, can we play seriously now? Can we play seriously? He's like, dude. Okay. Running at the enemies when you're going to die is called feeding. It's not called not being a sissy. It's called feeding. What
cold
that does...
Strats, bra.
It causes the enemy to get a bunch of extra gold, and it causes our champions to be off the field for a period of time. During that time, with all their awesome items that they can now afford from murdering you, especially if it's me, because I was getting like all sorts of multi-kills in that game, mostly through just showing up when there was a bit of a stalemate battle and sort of turning the tide. Because that's what Ash does.
Okay.
But yeah, that's if anyone in here does that, that's called feeding, because that makes the enemy way stronger. Don't do that. If you're going to die, run. Running is okay.
Yeah. It's not a retreat, it's a tactical. Yeah. It's a tactical maneuvering backwards.
Especially if it's early game, because they can't fight your turrets yet. The only early game killing that should really be done is if you can get a good gank going. Like, if you manage to all be on one side, hiding in the bushes. Which, these guys didn't seem to understand the concept of ganking, because they didn't, like, hide in the bushes. They just sort of stood out in the open. You hide in the bushes, then when one of their champions runs past you, that's right, past you, you suddenly attack. Because then they're like, oh, fuck, I'm being attacked by, like, three champions at once. I gotta run away. And now, oh, shit, frost arrows. I can't run. Unless you use Ghost. Ghost is an underappreciated spell.
Okay.
But yeah, that's my little rant on League of Legends, but otherwise, I still really enjoy the game.
Yeah, it's a fun game if you can figure it out.
Yeah, and I think early on I couldn't figure it out. One of my big issues was... One of the big reasons I left League of Legends is because one of my friends who I started playing because of it, he played with a lot of, you know, high-level players, and, mm-hmm. you know, they all wanted me playing with them, but then at the same time, they would start to get a bit ragey if I didn't do things right, mm-hmm. which happens sometimes. And I eventually got annoyed with that, so I left. It was only recently that I'm like, you know what? I'm not even playing with that guy anymore, so... I don't even know if he plays anymore. He has this very bad habit of starting up games, getting really, really into them for a while, and then dropping them entirely. For example, if you ever played the text-based strategy game Sea Powers, he was one of the strongest players and in the strongest clan of Sea Powers. And then he just dropped it. The leaderboard was so unbalanced after that. Yeah, he was like top five in Sea Powers.
Fuck. The other thing with like with games like League of Legends is like if you are going in there like with a group of people, if you are like the underlevel one, then they will get really pissed off at you and they will like affect how you play. If you're going in there with a group of like really underlevel people, then you'll end up just like carrying the entire team. But if you go like that's one of the games where you need to just go in there where you're not talking to anybody aside from just like saying whether you're going top mid or bottom. Or going with like a group of friends who are around the same level as you, so you are able to actually strategize and figure things out the right way, or you're just gonna have a bad time.
Yeah, I actually recently tried one of the newer game modes that wasn't around when I last played League of Legends, because when I last played League of Legends, there was only Twisted Tree Line and Summoner's Rift, which I still like Twisted Tree Line. Fuck all of you. Because everyone hates it, and I'm like, no, I love Twisted Tree Line. but I believe it's called Dominion, where you have to like go and capture points. And there was this great like trash-talking conversation between two guys. One was like, four top, one bottom. And the guy's like, that's the stupidest strategy I've ever, blah, 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 blah. He's like, no, shut up, you're an asshole, blah, 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 blah. And then finally we get into the game, and he looks at the map, and he's like, oh. Four top, one bottom is a really good idea. They said all this shit to each other. Only for the one guy to suddenly realize that, oh, four top, one bottom is good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So playing anything
I don't
else?
Like Dominion that much, but I enjoy. I'm trying to think. I guess I technically played like a few minutes of Skyrim, but that's not new news.
It's fucking Skyrim.
I've been playing Minecraft and introducing friends into it, which has been a new experience.
Ah.
But mostly the same stuff. Although I will say a couple things have been added, like you can spawn villagers now, so my villages that had no villagers now have villagers. Yay. That's about it. But yeah, that is it for what I've been playing. Actually, sorry. I do have a mobile game. And that's Fruit Ninja. Yeah.
I love Fruit Ninja. What's your high score?
Which mode? And I'll have normal, to look it up.
Like normal mode.
Classic mode.
Classic, whatever. I don't fucking care.
Give me a moment here. I'm going to load it up. But yeah, Fruit Ninja, it's a fun little challenging game, and they sort of do the achievement thing of keeping you playing. Only they let you unlock new blades, which actually I unlocked a new blade today and did not check what it was.
Yeah, they let you unlock new blades and new backgrounds. I currently have the I Love Sensei background.
I have the wave background, and I'm using the fire blade.
Yeah, I think... I'm not sure what blade I'm using right now. Like, for the longest time, I was using, like, the retro blade that caused, like, pixels. But now I'm using, I think it's a shining blade.
Okay. I'm just going to look up what my high score is. Where do I find that?
Just okay. Start.
161 in classic. And, okay. Let's see. In arcade, my highest is 778.
Fuck, you play a lot more arcade.
And in Zen, it's 206.
Okay, I'm loading up my game right now, too. So, let's have a look, see here.
Oh, my new blade is the Pixel Blade.
Oh. So, in Classic, I'm at 343. In Arcade, 372. And in Zen, I am 207. Which I find it weird that the mode that doesn't have any kind of like things in it at all is my lowest score.
Yeah, but it's kind of because of how basic it is, I suppose, because it's basically you've got fruit and a time limit. There's no bonus things. All you can do is get combos. So because it's so simplistic, it can be harder to get a higher score. The reason in arcade mode I have such a high score, I don't know how ridiculously high that is. I should watch my mouth or some people be like, man, your score of Fruit Ninja is low. I have like 3,000.
Compared to me, it's pretty high. It's double my score, I think.
But the reason for that is I got all three bananas at once.
Oh, fuck.
Well, not exactly at once, sort of somewhat consecutively. So
that
like,
was double score. So that was double score, Fruit Frenzy, and the
freeze. So
freeze, right?
A whole shit ton of slow moving fruit that gives
me
double the score.
Oh fuck!
So it was literally like I'm at about 100. I finished that frenzy. I'm at like 600. Well, shit.
Yeah, I will never get a score that good again.
No, I get high scores on that because I do play arcade mode a lot because I enjoy that mode the most, to be honest. But yeah, I'll never get up that high again. I've been trying to get a score of 234. I thought I had it, then I realized it has to be a score of 234 after the bonuses. How the fuck do you do that?
You avoid bonuses, I guess.
It always gives you bonuses, though.
Ah.
It'll just pick three. It's just about how good the bonuses you get are.
So be incredibly lucky.
Exactly. That's it. It's pure luck. Because I'm like, okay, I got a score of 234, and I'm going to sit here and let the rest of the fruit fall. And then it's at the end, it's like, no, you don't get the Shadow Blade. Fuck, I wanted the Shadow Blade.
I didn't even know there was a Shadow Blade.
Yeah, you get it for getting a score of exactly 234 in arcade mode. After the bonuses.
Yeah, I am not that deep into Fruit Ninja. I basically play it when I go to the bathroom.
I just play it when I'm bored and I don't want to play Pokemon.
Fucking Pokemon.
Which I usually want to play Pokemon. Except right now it's kind of slow because I'm just trying to train my Eevee, who's a lot lower than my other Pokemon.
Okay.
Anyways, I think that's all I'm going to talk about for today.
Okay, so for me, I got two things, one old, one new. So, for the old thing, I've been playing some more Bittrip Runner. Well, Bittrip Runner, I guess Bittrip Presents Runner 2, Future Legend of Rhythm Alien.
All right, and how's that? Still awesome?
So I have bumped myself up to hard difficulty.
Ooh.
I have perfected the first four worlds.
Okay, we got a badass over here.
No, I'd be a badass if I was perfect plusing. If I was perfect plusing them, because there are two ratings that you get for, you know, the thing. So if you get a perfect, that means that you collected all the gold, and all of the like plus icon things that like upgrade your whatever it is. And so if you get all of those in a level, then you get perfect. But then you know, you get to the bonus stage, which is you're firing a cannon at a target. If you get in the middle, you get another 10,000 points plus a plus at the end of it. So it's perfect plus.
Right.
Yeah. Unfortunately, hitting the 10,000 is a bit weird because the trajectory of the cannon is always a bit lower or higher than you think it is.
Hmm.
Like, so the cannon moves up and down. It's just constantly moving up and down. You have to just time your thing right. So if the cannon's moving down, then your trajectory is a bit lower than you think it is. If the cannon's moving up, your trajectory is a bit higher than you think it is. And so every single time, like, very rarely do I ever, like, get the 10,000 one. But then when I do get the 10,000 one, I'm able to, like, figure out what the trajectory is, and I just keep hitting it, nailing it over and over again. So I have a lot of like double perfect pluses on levels, but unfortunately, once I lose that, like once I lose where the positioning is, I'm just like 7,000, 7,000, 7,000, 7,000, 7,000 over and over and over again, and it is so goddamn frustrating.
I can see how that would be.
Yeah, and what's even weirder is I'm not entirely sure what the hit, like, where you're actually hitting the thing in terms of your body, because I'm assuming it's the head, but it's weird because, like, with some characters, like with Uncle Dill, when Uncle Dill gets fired at the cannon, he gets lodged head first into the target, you know, like an arrow. But with Commodore Video, which is who I'm playing as, when he hits it, he just peels off. So it looks like his entire body was the hit zone. Like, so I'm not sure if his head, if it's like a little plus sign on his chest, or what. It's really starting to bug me. So because I'm not sure whether I should be like waiting for the can to go lower or higher. It's really pissing
me
off.
He hits head first, then the force of his ass trying to force its way through his brain pushes him forward, squishing him flat against the wall.
He doesn't have an ass. All, like, the mass goes to his head and the plus sign floating in front of him. I think I'm using a different...
Says it sounds legit.
I think I'm using a different skin for Commodore Video, too. But yeah, so right now I'm in the bit trip on hard. I am trying to get through there. I think I've gotten past the first, like, six levels, I think, including the bonus stages. And I'm also taking every single hard path because fuck all of you. If you don't go the hard path, then there's no point in playing. So yeah, I've just been doing that, and I've actually run into surprisingly few hard paths. Like, I've only ran into one recently, and the reward was a chest I already got, which is fine, I guess. But yeah, I just want to get fucking further into the bit trip. And but what it'll get really hard when I have to start running left again.
That would be terrible.
Oh yeah. Remember I said the final boss of Bit Trip Runner 2, you run to the left. It goes all pitfall on your ass. The game is still ridiculously fun. I still love that game. The music is great, the platform is great. It's all fucking great. If you haven't gotten Runner 2 yet, get it. It's great. Another fucking fantastic and great game, Rayman Origins.
I've heard many good reviews of this game.
This is the most pure platforming game I've ever played recently, in like the past 10 years. Like, platforming is my genre. That is what I love. Ask people what their favorite genre is. Like, oh, I'm into RPGs, I'm into JRPGs, I'm into platformers. And with a lot of platformers I've been playing recently, they've had some kind of like story around them or some kind of gimmick. Runner 2, the Runner games, it could be like kind of classified as platformers, but there's that rhythm aspect to them. Then, or you have something like Super Meat Boy, I guess, would be the only other like pure platforming game that's come out in recent memory for me. But this game, it gets that spot just right. Like, the controls are pretty tight, but they're still floaty enough to be able to cause you to just run off the edge of and go straight to plummeting to your death. The entire game, there is barely any story. It's like, so the story, as I understand it, is Rayman, Glowbox, and their friends are sleeping too musically, which causes an evil skeleton lady who lives under the earth with her husband to take over the world with evil things. So then Rayman has to save the day by collecting lums, which are these little floating like bug things. You collect enough of those, you start getting electoons, and those electoons are able to fight off the corruption. And none of this is all explained with no dialogue whatsoever.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and like the way they sleep is actually really fantastic. Like Glowbox, whenever he scratches his ass, it sounds like a record scratch. So he's actually like him scratching his ass is him like actually scratching with his ass. And everything is done rhythmically in that game and in the cutscenes. And it's really cool. And so then we get to the actual game, and after that opening cutscene, it's just, hey, go. And so you go. And it just, in most stages, there are 6 electoon medals to get, medallions. In each level, there are 3 cages that have electoons in them. One of them is always at the very last thing you do in the game. The other 2 are hidden. So you get all 3 of those, you get 3 medallions. Then there's one for collecting lums. If you collect 150 lums, you get one. If you collect 300 lums, you get 2. If you collect 350, you get some special magical thing at the end. And then there is a time one that you get for collecting, for like going at a certain amount of time, like running through the level after you beat it once. If you beat that, like there's a par time and a, like, I guess, birdie time. For those who don't know golf, birdie is the thing better than par. So yeah, if you beat the par time, then you just get, hey, another electoon. If you beat the birdie time, then you get a special speed trophy. And all these things have different themes to them. Like one of them is an ice level, but it's like an ice level with a fruit theme, like a Hawaiian fruit theme. So you like run around, you'll find like weird palm tree things with sunglasses on. You'll like the bouncy things will be like pieces of lime. Then there's like a forest stage, there's desert stage, there's like weird industrial stage, there's a kitchen stage where the monsters you fight have giant forks and like chef hats on, and with like some of the like elevator things that lift you up are like souffles that are heating up in the oven. And this game is just so damn fun. And it's challenging as balls, man.
The one thing I can say from your description is that it is very platform.
It is a platform. It will platform the fuck out of you. And that is the greatest fucking feeling ever. Like Trials, that's been getting my platforming itch for a while because, you know, it's platform with motorcycles. But this is just hitting that sweet point just right of I get to the point in the game where I'm just like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm like about to snap my controller in half. I turn off the game. Then I go back and do like computer stuff for a second, and then I'm like 5 minutes later, I'm like, you know what? I should play some Rayman Origins. that is my measuring point of a good platformer for me. It is if I can get so pissed off at the game about to break something, and then within the span of an hour, I'm able to say, you know what, I want to play that game again. Because that's what it is. It's the controls, everything is there for me to complete this game with flawless flying colors. But I am not good enough at it. And it's really great, and what's really great about it is, while it does have that level of difficulty to it, it's not exactly, it doesn't turn people away for its difficulty. It only turns people away from difficulty if they are trying to get everything. If you're just saying, I'm just going to play this game to the end, they'll be able to do that. Like, it'll be challenging, but you'll be able to do it. I beat that game, start to end, inside of, 3 days of playtime, so maybe 8 hours. Which, decent length. But now just going back and trying to play and trying to get everything else, I have nine achievements.
That's where these things always get frustrating.
I have nine achievements left in that game.
I've never been a completionist for anything.
I wasn't. But then in my younger days, I wasn't. But then I started getting into gaming. Because back in the olden days, I was a casual gamer. I had a NES, but I had a SNES, and I'd had Super Mario World, and I'd play that every once in a while. I wouldn't get past the first fortress, though. I had no idea who Mario was. I had no idea who Princess Peach was. I had no idea who Luigi was. I didn't know anything. I was like, I make the fat man run.
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, but then, as I got older and started, getting into games, I then got to the point where I was like, okay, I need everything. I need this. And that's where I'm at now. I'm at the point where I would try to 100% a 20-year-old game that is notorious for never being able to be 100%. I set out with a goal to 100% Just Cause 2.
Okay.
I think I got 30% done, and then I had to give the game back to my friend before he moved.
Oh.
Yeah. So at some point, fucking never ending Just Cause 2 Let's Play. Let me play that for you, Whereas try to get 100% fucking everything in that game, and Rayman Origins is really good, you guys. It's seriously good. This is...
I might play it at some point.
Yeah. If I had played this game in the year it came out, this would have been a really hot contender for my game of the year. But for now, it will be my whatever year this game came out on, 2013 game of the year. Well, contender anyway.
2013 game of the year, but not 2013.
Yeah, that's something I think I'm doing. Changing our game of the of the year stuff to just being stuff we saw or read or played for the first time in that year.
I have my 2013 anime of the year.
Yeah, so if you haven't got the chance to play it, definitely get Rayman Origins. It is a fantastic game. If you're 100% it, just breathe, okay? Just okay? Okay. So yeah, and that's kind of it, I guess. I'm trying to think of other stuff I might have played. Stuff I tried to play but didn't actually write down. Played some TF2. It's still TF2, and I'm still terrible at it.
And you still have less hats than everybody else.
Oh yeah, fuck hats. I don't wear hats. If they were selling hoods in that game, then I might be interested, but hats, no. So anyway, I guess it does for what we've been playing then. On to news.
News!
Yeah. So, normally we record these podcasts on Monday. So if we're recording this normally, then we won't be able to talk about this piece of news. But we're recording this on Tuesday, so we can. So, today, on May 21st, 2013, Microsoft revealed the next Xbox. It is called the Xbox One.
Which is confusing as shit.
Yes, it is. while writing the articles about the Xbox One, I went to Google search the Xbox One, and I got the original Xbox.
Yarp.
Why couldn't they have gone with Xbox Infinity?
Infinity was a good name.
Yeah, but no, they wanted to fucking pimp their all-in-one gaming console thing. Because that was, like, their big thing. Like, they barely talked about games during that press conference.
Then call it, like, Xbox Omniverse. I don't know.
Yeah, like, 360, if they had called the Xbox 360 the Xbox 2, then they could have called this the Xbox 360. Because, you know, it encompasses everything. But no, they had to go with the Xbox One because it's an all-in-one thing. It is your movies. It is your internet browser. It is your TV. It is your gaming console. It is your fucking back massager, all in one convenient box. It'll turn the living room experience into a different kind of experience.
Yeah, you know what? I really just want a gaming console, thanks.
Yeah, I know. So, the console is built on its own native 64-bit architecture. I'm running three different operating systems, an Xbox operating system, a Windows kernel operating system, and an interfacing operating system to turn so that they can run those two together, like simultaneously switch between them instantly. The system has 8 gigs of RAM, an 8-core CPU, a 500-gigabyte hard drive, Blu-ray, Wi-Fi direct, and you know just regular Ethernet connection, HDMI in and out, and USB 3.0 ports. With all this stuff, the system is able to process 2 gigabits of data per second. The Xbox One is not backwards compatible. You will not be able to play any of your physical games for 360 on the Xbox One, and you will not be able to bring over any of your digital games.
Well, I think I know what my next-gen console choice will be.
Yeah, but Microsoft is saying that you'll be able to carry over all of your music and movies.
Oh, I can still have my music and movies? Like what I keep on my computer, because that actually makes sense.
Yeah. It also, you know all those rumors about the anti-piracy stuff? Those might actually be, like, real.
And PS4 wins!
Yeah, so according to Wired, who managed to get their hands on the console early, the Xbox One will require players to install a game onto their hard drive. This will allow people to play the game without actually putting the disc into their console, which is a pretty cool idea because I am tired. Cause I do not like disc swapping,
which is really annoying. Because like with the Xbox 360, you can install it, but then you still need the disc.
Yeah. So, but in doing this, in the act of installing, this will also tie the game to your account. Microsoft said that if players want to use a second account, they'll have the option of paying a fee to install the game.
Yep, PS4 wins.
Yep. But the other big rumor about the console, of it being always online, is not entirely true. Developers are being given the option to make games that use a Microsoft's Azure cloud service, offloading some of the computing onto the cloud. But not all games will use the service, and Microsoft will not require developers to use it.
And as a recent... I forget what I was going to say. Anyways.
Yeah, so the controller got a bit of redesign as well. It has an integrated battery compartment, Wi-Fi direct connection, improved ergonomics, which I guess means they made the weird wing things on it longer, an actual D-pad this time, and not just a fucking disc. And new impulse triggers, which I guess are better.
Yeah, pretty much Microsoft did one thing right, and that was the controller. Because everyone pretty much said that they wanted the controller to stay mostly the same, but fix the fucking D-pad. And
yeah,
that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, and the controller does basically look the same. It's just the triggers look a bit differently, and the Xbox guide button has been moved up.
And the D-pad is a D-pad.
Yeah, the D-pad's a fucking D-pad. Yeah, so every Xbox One will also be shipping with the new Kinect, the Kinect 2.0 or whatever the fuck it's called. So this Kinect has a 1080p RGB camera, which captures video at 30 frames a second. It has improved skeletal tracking and can even read your heartbeat.
Read your heartbeat. That is so scary, it's another reason I'm not getting the Xbox One.
Yeah.
I'm probably also not getting the PS4 for a number of years, but...
Yeah. It was also said that the new Kinect will be able to recognize both player and their controller. So they may be moving towards some, more games that are like use the controller in tandem with the Kinect. And so it's not just all Kinect controlling shit. So they also showed off how the Kinect is able to make things easier with, you know, voice commands and gestures. When you say Xbox on, your Xbox will turn on, recognize you, and sign into your profile. This will take you to your own personalized dashboard, which remembers what you were last doing on the console and organizes itself accordingly. So, you know how the dashboard now has, you know, all those little different icons on it and stuff?
Yeah.
Those icons will now, like, change every time you go on there, depending on what you were doing last.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. So, from this personalized dashboard, you'll be able to access pretty much everything on the console via voice commands. You'll be able to go to like different. You'll be able to get a bunch of different movie apps on there. You'll be able to open up the internet browser, which is Internet Explorer, because they still believe that's a good thing. And it also defaults to Bing, so you know,
defaulting to Bing.
Yeah, it also has a new trending tab, which gets data from you know your friends as well as the entire Xbox community to give you recommendations on movies and TV shows that are like popular and trending on the Xbox community. You can even switch over from your console to live TV instantly with voice commands. So you're able to say Xbox live TV, it switches over to TV. Then say Xbox video and say Xbox video games, it'll switch back over to the console view. It all does that shit instantly, and it's actually it sounds pretty cool. Because
I
you know,
I don't have cable.
Yeah, I know, but you know, you have one monitor that you use for your gaming and your PC.
That's true. I could be like, Xbox PC! Yeah. Xbox! Xbox!
Xbox from Pooper! Xbox, the mom plays Arkham City.
Except that's not enough to get me to get an Xbox One.
Yeah. So also introduced was Snap Mode, which is a new multitasking thing that let you run multiple apps at the same time. During the reveal event, a guy was watching a movie, and then he was able to bring up another app, which let him like watch trailers for the sequel to the movie, look up show times for that sequel, and buy tickets for that other movie, all controlled with a smartphone, presumably using smart glass, because that's still a thing. Yeah, weird statistic. Apparently, the smart glass app was downloaded 10 million times.
Huh.
So there are 10 million dumbasses out there. So Skype has also been integrated in the Xbox One, and it is fully compatible with the new Kinect, so you'll be able to use your Kinect as a microphone and webcam on Skype.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and if you don't feel like talking at your Xbox, you can always just use gestures, like swiping and grabbing and stuff, like you are using a giant touchpad, but there's nothing there, so there's no force feedback, so it's kind of stupid. And then finally, Xbox Live, the service, will be getting an upgrade itself. So the new Xbox Live will be running over 300,000 servers, which is 600 times the amount of servers the service had at launch. And according to the people at Microsoft, that has more computing data than there was in the entire world in 1999. I don't know why they went that specific with it, but whatever.
I don't know, back when the Y2K bug was a scare, because it was like, all the computers are going to crash. Well, if all of those had crashed, then we would have rebuilt it relatively quickly.
Yeah.
Because Microsoft can.
Yeah, they have 300,000 servers, motherfucker. Yeah, so the servers will be used to store cloud saves and gameplay footage, which you can record now on the console, as well as dynamic achievement data. This is like comparing how you're playing, like your achievement progress against the other people's stuff. It's weird. The Xbox One will also have built-in video editing program to edit gameplay footage that you capture through the console. Okay. Yeah, so the Xbox One is set for launch later this year.
And guess who's not buying one? Ever.
Most people. Because, you know, no used games.
Yep. That's pretty much a nail in the coffin there. I mean, Microsoft should kind of watch their footing. Linux is becoming a lot more popular on the PC market, and, well, now they're kind of wrecking themselves out of console.
Yeah. Like the PS4, while they haven't come out and explicitly said that there won't be any like used game blocking stuff,
they've like, pretty much said it.
Yeah, like the, I think it was like the head of Sony Studios worldwide, like when someone asked him a question like, will this console block two games, like, do you want it to? I don't want it to, do you? I never knew that people wanted that.
The large response was, fuck no.
Yeah. So moving on to our next Xbox One piece of news. So another new thing coming out with the new Xbox Live is matchmaking. You see, with this, now you'll be able to multitask while you're matchmaking. So have you ever tried to get into a game, like go into a game, try to find an online match, and it took forever?
Yes.
With this new thing, you'll be able to get into matchmaking and then go do something else, like watching a movie or playing an entirely different game. This way you'll be, and then whenever a match is ready for you, the message will pop up, a little message will pop up in this corner of the screen. You hit a button and you go right back to your other game.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, like everything that is kind of awesome, but everything that's kind of awesome about the console is immediately weighed out by all the things that are really shitty about the console.
Well, yeah, just the one choice to have the no used game thing is it overshadows everything else. It doesn't matter what kind of cool features they put on there. It doesn't matter. It's a piece of shit console because of that.
And this. The Xbox One will not work if the Kinect is not attached to it at all times.
And less people want it. I already, you know, was quite convinced that no matter how much the price drops in the future, I am not buying an Xbox One.
Yeah, I don't want to, but I'll probably need to for the site at some point. Like a couple years down the line when they stop making games for the Xbox 360, I'll probably need to upgrade.
Yes, and when I upgrade, I'm upgrading to a PS4.
I'm going to be trying to get the PS4 too. I want to get multiple consoles. I can't just have one the entire time. But anyway,
so there's something for brand loyalty. I mean, there's a lot of people who are, you know, fans of whatever, Microsoft or Sony, and they are tooth and nail fighting for, they're like that. I like whatever console is good at the time. I decided that Xbox 360 had what I wanted when I got it, so I got it. But with this generation of consoles, I've pretty much got my eye on the PS4.
Yeah. And everyone forgot the Wii U exists.
The Wii U doesn't really need to exist.
Yeah.
So, of course, we'll probably end up getting one when the new Zelda game comes out.
the one where you have to point the tablet at the screen to shoot arrows.
If they do what they did in the one image demo where your inventory screen is on the tablet, that is awesome. For a Zelda player, that is amazing.
Oh. So moving on to our next Xbox One piece of news. It was announced during the event that the Xbox One will have 15 exclusive titles over the first year of the game's life. 8 of those titles will be part of entirely new franchises.
Interesting. Is one of them Bungie's new franchise?
Yes. Well, actually, that's not an exclusive title.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like that was like a big thing at the PS4 event too.
All right.
Yeah, and the PS4 will be getting exclusive content that the Xbox One won't.
Yeah, of course. There's always exclusives. Exclusives should go away, but there will always be exclusives.
Yeah, so of the new games that are going to be coming out soon, we have a list of the ones that are confirmed for Xbox One. So far for exclusives, we have Forza Motorsport 5 from Turn 10. Quantum Break, the new game from Remedy, the guys that made Max Payne. And I've seen this listed a few places else, but it's not listed on this list. But for exclusives, FIFA 14 Ultimate Team, which is a FIFA game. Yeah. For multi-platform games, we have Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, Battlefield 4, Destiny from Bungie stuff, Madden NFL 25, NBA Live, Thief, UFC, Watch Dogs, and Call of Duty Ghosts. And Call of Duty Ghosts, that actually sounds kind of okay. Well, like with that game, it's like in that game, America is like fucked. And so like there's a small team of ghosts that are made up of various different military groups that exist within the United States government stuff, and a dog, and they have to fight against whoever this they're fighting against. I'm guessing the Russians.
Probably the Russians.
Either the Russians or the Chinese. But it honestly does sound kind of cool. And you have a dog.
I will say, though, as for launch titles, it's not as exciting as I thought it might be. Like,
yeah, well, these aren't launch
it's
titles.
It's a better list than the Wii U for sure.
Yeah, well, these aren't actually launch titles. These are titles that will be coming to the console over the course of a year or something.
Okay. It's still more exciting than the Wii U's list.
Yeah. And then some of next-gen games that have been unconfirmed for the Xbox One are The Evil Within, The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, and Wolfenstein The New Order. Because, yeah, there's going to be a new Wolfenstein game.
Hopefully it's better than the last one.
Yeah, and so for our final piece of Xbox One news, Xbox Entertainment Studio is developing a live-action Halo TV series for Xbox Live and possibly other places, with Steven Spielberg signed on as executive producer of the entire series.
See, I will find a way to get that without an Xbox One, because I want to see that.
Everyone will find a way to get that without Xbox One. But yeah, it was really weird at the press conference with him, because what happened was a woman from Xbox Entertainment Studio, she came out on stage, and she said, we want to make TV happen on the Xbox. And then she brought out the head of 343 Industries, and then she was saying, hey, we're making a new Halo thing. Steven Spielberg. And then it was like a pre-recorded video of him saying, hey, guys, video games, am I right? I'll see you guys later.
Huh.
Yeah, the entire press conference was kind of terrible. It all just felt like they were trying to get as far away from games as they could. Like, it was all about the TV, man. We're trying to make everything all TV on this shit.
Yeah, well, when you try to unify everything onto one system, that system will become diluted and hazy, and eventually what you will have is a computer.
Yeah. Well, I already have a computer, thanks.
Yeah, I have a computer as well. It's a good computer. I upgraded it myself.
Yeah. I need to get a new motherboard for mine to put in more memory. So, you know, there's that. But yeah, this whole thing is just... the woman from Xbox Entertainment Studio, she came out and said she wanted... she said that the goal of the Xbox One was to make TV more immersive. Yeah, it was make TV more immersive, more personalized, and more social. So what I can imagine is, you're watching Game of Thrones and all of a sudden, a message pops up on the screen every time a friend of yours that you're following on Twitter tweets something about Game of Thrones. It's like, oh my god, Bran just, stabbed a dude. Totally baller. Hashtag that Xbox. Which I stole it from Giant Bomb, by the way. They're fucking awesome, guys. But yeah. So moving on to our next piece of news, which is not Xbox One related. So, last week, on May 14th, the Among the Sleep alpha was released for everyone on the game's Kickstarter page. So, Among the Sleep, for those who don't know, is the survival horror game where you play as a 2-year-old.
I must play this.
Yeah, it does sound like an incredibly, creative and interesting game.
Link me right now. Right now. Maybe not right now, but later.
Every single survival horror game that I've seen recently that's been first person has been some jackass trying to outrun the latest creepypasta. And this is just a 2-year-old in a house, his house. It's the world seen through the eyes of a 2-year-old and the horror that can come out of an uncontrolled imagination.
That is an amazing concept. Oh, there's the link. Thank you.
Yeah, James should be getting a video for this up soon.
I figured as much.
Yeah, and yeah, this game sounds really cool. Like last week, their Kickstarter ran out. They were trying to raise $200,000. They ended with $248,358. So success. And if I wasn't a total bitch, I would totally play this game. Like, seriously, I want to play this game, but I am too much of a pussy to try it. So moving on to our next piece of news. Yeah, so EA CFO Blake Jorgensen said that, like, well, he recently teased a new possible Battlefront game. Like Star Wars Battlefront.
Ooh. I am interested.
Yeah, so if you remember, a couple weeks back, we talked about how EA signed a deal with Disney to produce pretty much all of their Star Wars games that weren't coming out on social platforms.
And so in the article, I stated that my biggest hope for this was a Battlefront 3.
Yeah, so they've teased possibly a new Battlefront. So speaking at the Stifle 2013 Technology Conference, Jorgensen offered this hint. The opportunity to do a new Battlefront, for example, which is one of the very popular Star Wars games, or some other traditional games that were made, is very exciting. And that's all we have. Like I said, it's a tease.
A tease, and I hope to God it happens.
Yeah. And so, apparently, some reports were claiming that, you know, Battlefront 3, which was never actually announced, was reportedly 99% done. So they could just be actually finishing that.
That wouldn't surprise me, because the last Battlefront game was made on the original Xbox. It's been a while.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, so so you were going to say that, you know, any Star Wars games that EA makes will not be based on the upcoming Star Wars films at all. So, he said, quote, "These aren't movie games per se, these are standalone games, but obviously they would come out near the movies and be able to tailgate off of some of the buzz that would be created around the new Star Wars movies." So, yeah,
yeah,
they're not...
I don't expect it to be, like, about those, but, like, I just hope they give more of a focus to the original films. Because, like, the storyline... There's an actual storyline in Battlefront 2... And it's it does go into the original film's timeline, but it spends most of his time in the prequel timeline.
Hmm. Yeah, we'll see if they ever actually make that. EA, they did say that they won't be starting, like, production on any new Star Wars games till, like, 2014. I think it was, like, April 1st, 2014 is the date, like, the earliest date they'll start production on a new Star Wars title. So we have a while to wait. But anyway, moving on to our next piece of news. People who pre-order Batman Arkham Origins will receive DLC that will allow them to play as Deathstroke in all the game's challenge matches, as well as a few other bonus missions. So, Woot. You know how fun it was to play as Catwoman in Batman Arkham City? I can only imagine it being more fun with a person who's less agile than her. Who can't climb anything. And shoot stuff. Almost everything I hear about Arkham Origins makes me hate it more. Like, they even released a trailer for fucking Arkham Origins that came a while ago. And all it was Batman fighting Deathstroke. That was it. Which kind of goes against the entire philosophy of the Arkham cities, of the Arkham series that I've come to know.
Yeah.
Which has been, hey, while Batman is a tremendous fighter, he doesn't need to fight because he's too good. But yeah, anyway, go on.
I was just going to say, like, a lot of your time in, like, the Arkham games is spent stealthing.
Yeah.
And you for hang good out reason. It's how Batman operates.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a ton of bad guys you can fight, but you could just, like, pass right by them.
Yeah, or if you're in a room where you like need to kill or you need to fight them all, you can easily fight them all and not actually throw a single punch.
Yeah.
Or a single Batarang, for that matter. So anyway, on the DLC's press release said, Deathstroke will come complete with his own weapons and special moves, and will be playable in all challenge maps in the game, as well as two additional challenge maps that will be included with the pack. The pack also includes two alternate Deathstroke character skins. So, you know, costumes. What you come to the Arkham series for.
Absolutely. I remember how many times I changed my costume in Arkham City, which was never, because the Arkham City Batman costume is fucking awesome.
I remember there were costumes. But yeah, so Batman Arkham City is available in North America on October 25th. And speaking of Batman Arkham Origins, we have confirmed our Batman and our Joker.
Okay.
So, Batman will be played by Roger Craig Smith, best known for his work as Ezio Auditore in the Assassin's Creed series, Chris Redfield from Resident Evil, and the current voice of Sonic the Hedgehog.
I guess? I mean, it's a younger Batman, right?
Yeah, it's younger Batman. It's Batman before Batman before he saw some shit.
Okay, yeah, no. Good choice for younger Batman.
Yeah. And so the Joker will be played by Troy Baker. Troy Baker, he's most recently played Booker DeWitt in Bioshock Infinite, Kai Leng in Mass Effect 3, Vincent from Catherine, and I believe he was also Kanji from Persona 4.
Okay. I don't know his voice well enough to give any comment on that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that he was Kanji. I'm looking this up right now, but yes, he was. He's Kanji Tatsumi. So, presumably the Joker will have shouting powers. and a chair.
I play Kanji in Persona 4 just because I find that amazing.
And this is really weird, actually. So I'm on like a Troy Baker's Wikipedia page, and in LEGO Batman DC Super Heroes, Troy Baker played Batman.
So he's good at grunting.
Yeah, and in the Injustice game, and in Injustice Gods Among Us, he actually played Nightwing, which I did not know. So that's cool. So yeah, that is going to be... Those are the voices we have, and... They could do worse.
They definitely could, especially on the Batman side. I can't comment too much on the Joker. I'm not familiar enough with the voice actor. And I honestly, to make a final judgment, I need to hear his Joker.
Yeah.
The big thing is they need to sound like they are going to evolve into their later voice actors.
Yeah. Troy Baker needs to grow into Mark Hamill.
Yes, we need to be convinced that he will one day be Mark Hamill.
Yeah. He needs to go from the gay kid who beats up biker gangs to savior of the universe. Which for Kanji isn't that far of a stretch. I mean, Kanji, he was already part of the investigation team and he saved Inaba, so. I mean, he beat a god. How hard could James Earl Jones be?
Actually, I must comment how in this game, my biggest pickiness on the voices will be the Joker, not Batman.
Yeah, Batman is just, you just gotta talk like this a bit gravelly. Well, no,
they did a very good job. The Batman voice in the other Arkham games and in the anime series, very good without being too gravelly.
Yeah. But, you know, this kid, this guy, I wonder if you have, like, more of a like more knowledge of the like Kevin Conroy Batman or the Christian Bale Batman. Because keep in mind, that guy, that voice has kind of become the go-to Batman voice for the popular culture.
I know, but that's only because of how ridiculous it is. Well, you know what? No one could do a worse Batman voice than George Clooney.
Yeah, he didn't even do a Batman voice. He's like, hi,
no, he just stayed himself.
Like, hi, I'm George Clooney. Yeah. I mean Batman.
That's how you do a George Clooney Batman voice. You just talk normally. Just, I'm Batman.
Ow. I am the knight.
There's a needle in my couch, and I just, like, slam my wrist down on it. And Ninja Kitty refuses to get rid of it.
And that will be Anime North this weekend.
Actually, no. There's not really going to be sewing going on in the hotel room.
Thank God.
Because there's a perfectly good sewing machine here.
I remember last year, just...
Oh, it was terrible. There's pins everywhere.
So many pins. I slept in one.
You don't have to worry about that. This year you're sleeping on the floor.
Woo! Floors.
There'll be a couch cushion.
I like floors. The rugs burn nicely.
You could have a couch cushion to sleep on.
Yeah. So that's going to do it for this week, I guess. Thank you all for joining us. As always, you can follow us site on Twitter. You can follow us at Desktop Prods. I am at deadman_dprods. We have at Bubby on here. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/deathstoreprods. Subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/deathstoreprods fits for myself. And youtube.com/bubbywan for Bubbywan. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave some reviews. Let us know what you want to see more, less of, etc. And you can find us on Stitcher. Down the app, check us out on there. And we are on DeviantArt. So please head over to destoprods.deviantart.com. There's like a little page. Over the coming weeks, we'll be putting up a lot of cosplay photos because we'll be going to Anime North this weekend. Woo!
By the way, Anime North just released an app.
So check out the Anime North app.
Anime North app.
So check out the Anime North app. Available on the Google Play Store and iOS devices. And so, yeah, so for the next coming weeks, we'll be putting a bunch of cosplay photos up on the DeviantArt page. And so this week on the website, we're going to be having the anime podcast. This Thursday is the Anime Club. This week, we're going to take a look at episodes 7 and 8 of Angel Beats. Then this Friday, we'll be having the commentary track for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre as part of Platinum Dunes Month. Oh, joy. This Sunday, there will be no anything cast because... Again, Anime North. Then, comics next Wednesday, movies next Friday, as well as a commentary track for The Hitcher to wrap up Platinum Dunes Month. There will also be a personal issue this week, as well as Aimless Wanderings this week. Sorry, I got my articles mixed up. Yes, there will be an Aimless Wanderings this week from Pudgetron. And I might release a personal issue next week. Who knows? I released one last week, so anything's possible.
I can't bug you about that. Oh, right. Yeah, I said when you did it personally, she said do a fanfic grab bag. So after Anime North, fanfic grab bag.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing a Superman story for mine. I forget the actual issue number. I'll have to look that up again. But is that one with Mongol and the Black Plant from Alan Moore? So, hey, quality. But... until all that stuff, I'm the Deadman.
I'm Bovi Wong.
We will see you guys next time.